So one preacher I know talks about spirituality, the concept. What is spirituality? This preacher talks about spirituality as paying attention to what God is doing in the world and how we can be a part of it. That's spirituality. So put that idea about spirituality as paying attention to God on the back burner for a moment, and let's talk about this encounter Jesus has with this man around possessions and the kingdom of God. Now, when the man first asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, Jesus gives him the pretty standard boilerplate response. These are the things pretty much any rabbi would say. It pulls straight from Hebrew scripture. You shall not murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. And this guy says, great, I've done all those things, so I guess I'm good to go. But Jesus has more to say. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor. Then come, follow me. And the man was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This man wasn't killing anybody. He wasn't running around on his wife. He wasn't sneaking around stealing from the family next door. So he thought he's already doing everything that God wanted, but not to hear Jesus tell it, right? And boy, what Jesus tells him is hard to hear, isn't it? It's hard for me because we're pretty decent folks too. We pretty much follow the rules, don't we? Do you suppose that God wants more from us too? The thing is, at Mount Sinai, God gives the people the Ten Commandments for their own good, right? For our own good. But just keeping the Ten Commandments to the letter, well, it actually doesn't cut it. Because as I've said to you many times, and I will keep saying over and over, God wants better for us than this world of sin and death. And the Ten Commandments, if we follow them perfectly, yes, they will keep us out of a whole lot of trouble, but they can't bring the abundant life that God intends for all of creation. Because if you're starving, the fact that I'm not coveting your wife or bearing false witness against you really doesn't help you with the whole starving thing, does it? Even if I keep the commandments, you're still starving. And obviously that's not good for you, but it's not good for me either. The whole community is worse for the fact that you're not able to participate in it fully because you don't have what you need to survive. So Jesus here holds this man to the standard of not just what can I get away with, but to the higher standard of what is the good that God intends for the world, which in this case is go, sell what you have, give the money to the poor, and come follow me. Sisters and brothers, God's claim is on our whole lives. It's not just about how we spend our Sunday mornings or who we're sleeping next to at night. God's claim is on all of it. All that we are, all that we have, our very existence, it comes from God. And so God's call is for us to use all of it for the sake of God's kingdom. The conversation that the disciples have privately with Jesus after this peace with the man is over, well, it acknowledges that to follow God in all-in ways can be rough on us. Followers of Jesus stand to lose relationships, property, even homes for the sake of the gospel. But, Jesus says, they stand to gain more. We stand to gain more when we follow Jesus. Eternal life, that sounds pretty good, right? Probably can't value that too highly. But also, the good that God intends for us in the here and the now, in this life and in this time. And we don't gain any of this on our own, surely. As the disciples question Jesus, he says, you know what? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And basically, Jesus comes right out and says it. We cannot be saved by our own merits, right? It's impossible for that camel to go through the eye of the needle. For us to be saved by our own merits, it's impossible. But not for God, right? For mortals, it's impossible. But for God, all things are possible. And that's powerfully good news. The one who can save you is the God who also loves you. That's tremendously hopeful. It means that we're in the best possible hands here, with God being the one in control of our salvation and not us. But if we're going to lean into that good kingdom that God desires for us, if we're going to be part of it in the here and the now, then there's also no getting around the fact that it matters how we use our money and our possessions in the here and the now. God calls us to use them for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of those in need, for the poor. Anybody get here in a vehicle this morning? I did. Anybody come from a safe place to sleep last night? That's me. Anybody have something to eat this morning if you want it, or anybody heading toward a meal when you leave here? If so, we are the rich man. And what God tells him, I don't think we can be off the hook for. Go sell what you have, give the money to the poor, come follow me. It's uncomfortable, right? But Jesus' claim is on our whole lives. We talked about spirituality as paying attention to what God is doing and how we can be part of that. Well, I think stewardship is about paying attention to. It's about paying attention to what we have and how we use it. I'm not asking you to sell your house this week and sleep in the street. Jesus might be, so you'll have to make peace with Jesus on that. Don't come after me. But what I do ask is that you move the needle on how much you're paying attention to what you have and how you're using it for the sake of the goodness of God's kingdom. What I challenge you to do is take a good look at where you are, an intentional look, an on-purpose look, assess it, and then do something to be more intentional with your habits around things like spending. Make a plan for how you can better use the resources God has entrusted to you for the good of God's kingdom. So, yes, please look at your giving to the church with your family and ask if that is in line with your priorities, if where you are now is in line with those priorities. And if not, make a plan to do better, right? One of the ways we're trying to make that easier on you is by enabling things like online giving through our website and text giving. There are details about that on the back of the bulletin for about the last 6 weeks or so. And we've had several folks go that route because I think some folks find it helpful to be able to set up recurring gifts so that that way they're doing their giving on purpose, right? Not just when they happen to be here or when they happen to carry cash in their wallets. That recurring gift option gives you a way to do what you intend to do on purpose and not sort of stumble in whatever happens to work out that day. But giving is not just about this congregation, right? you may be where you need to be on giving here, and if so, God bless you, thank you, that is wonderful. But where else do you need to move the needle? One way I've been convinced my family can do a better job, and you've heard me talk about this maybe, is with cultural assumptions about holidays, particularly about Christmas. I mean, what if we all honored the coming of God with us by doing something to care for others instead of using it as an excuse to get the new gadget we've been eyeing, right? To me, that's a place where I could move the needle in my life. And if this is a direction you're interested in going, you better start planning now for this year, or maybe now for next year, because it will take some work, right, to change this expectation. We'll have some resources around this as we get closer to the holidays, so watch for that. Maybe you need to move the needle to pay more attention on how you use your time in love and service to God. Maybe you need to look at how you might more intentionally be in contact with and care for the poor. I don't know, frankly, where many of you are on these things. The only way you can know is if you don't sort of make it up as you go along, but you take an intentional, on purpose look at these areas, look at your life on purpose, and ask the question, ideally together with people you care about, and say, what are we doing to use the gifts God has entrusted to us faithfully for God's kingdom? Are we where we want to be? And if the answer is no, or I'm not sure, then make a plan, right? This is what you can do. Make a plan, move the needle, do it on purpose. Yes, the only way we come to the kingdom of God is through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, for whom all things are possible. We are totally and completely dependent on this. But it's also true that the God who created us and cares for us wants better for us, not just in the life eternal, but wants better for us where we are. So God tells us what to do with what we have to reach that better now. It sounds like this from Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. Give money to the poor. Come follow me. So take a look at your spending habits. Take a look at your bank accounts, your use of time, your talents. How do they line up with God's call? Assess where you are, make a plan, move the needle. Pay attention. Amen.